that may arise due to the bad behavior that comes naturally to a person who has a so-called low birth. For example, a chandal. A chandal is one who eats the meat of a dog. So this is a very sinful activity. So generally, persons who have this kind of habit, who lead this kind of lifestyle, will also have correspondingly crude and sinful habits. And their activity, their lifestyle, will be like that also. So therefore, the Shastras prohibit such people from performing yajna or worshipping the deity and so on. This is a natural disqualification for such people. However, if a person takes to devotional service, then this disqualification can be removed because the person's behavior, his attitudes, his thoughts, etc., change. He becomes purified by the practice of devotional service, and therefore the disqualification of his low birth no longer exists. Kapila Dev elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto says, Yan namadheya shravananu kirtanad yat pravanad yat smaranad api kvachit svadyopi sadhyah savanaya kalpate kutas punaste bhagavannu darshanat. He says that what to speak of a person who is seeing the Lord face to face, kutah punaste bhagavannu darshanat, that even there is someone who is seeing the Lord face to face, what to speak of that person? Even a person who is simply chanting the name of the Lord, hearing the name of the Lord, remembering the Lord and His name in past times, who offers obeisances to the Lord, even if he is a svadhya, a shvapacha, which means a dog eater or a chandal, immediately he becomes qualified to perform fire sacrifices. In other words, just simply by taking to the process of devotional service of hearing and chanting the holy names, the pastimes of the Lord, even a chandal can overcome the disqualifications of his low birth to perform activities like worship of the deity and so on. So in this way we can understand that devotional service is the only way to counteract not only the disqualifications that come with our body, but also the miseries of material existence, and indeed the misery of repeated birth. So when one becomes a pure devotee, then one will not have to take birth again in this miserable material world. But there is a higher principle than this even. And that higher principle is stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his bhajan Manasa Deha Geha Jokichu Mor Arpiluntua Pade Nanda Kishor, where it says that, my dear Lord, my mind, my body, my words are all surrendered to you. Everything is yours, so I surrender utterly to you. So in this bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, Janmau bi mor iccha jadi tor bhakta grihe jani janma hu mor. So he says, my dear Lord, if you do desire that I should take birth, then let that birth be in the house of a devotee. Let it be in the womb of a devotee mother. Because at least then I will be able to do some form of Krishna consciousness. Because the devotee mother, when holding me in her womb, is going to be chanting, she will make me hear the holy names, she will be taking Krishna prasadam, and therefore I will also be able to partake of that Krishna prasadam when it comes through her body. In this way, I will have a devotional environment to live in. And then the Thakur says further, Kita janme ho yatha tua das, bahir mukha brahma janme nahi ash. He says, I prefer the birth of a kita or a worm, if I get the opportunity to do service to you, rather than the birth of Brahma, of a non-devotee Brahma. sometimes it is possible that Brahma may be a jnani or maybe some ashtang yogi. He may not be a pure devotee. Our Brahma, fortunately, is a pure devotee of the Lord. He is an acharya of our sampradaya. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I don't even want to be a Brahma if he's a non-devotee. I would prefer to be even a worm who can offer some little service to Krishna. Similarly, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that it's better to live in the airtight womb of a mother and undergo the tribulations that have been described in this third canto here, because at least one has the opportunity to remember the Lord. And as we will see further on in the seventh month, the child actually starts calling out to the Lord and praying to him. So the Bhagavatam says that it's better to be in such a situation in the mother's womb, tolerating these miseries, yet having an opportunity to call out to the Lord and to pray to him, than to be in a place that may be full of all the material luxuries and all opportunities for sense gratification, but where there is no opportunity for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So the Bhagavatam says that one should try to reside in the place where the Ganges of the river of the nectarian glorification of the Lord, like his chanting of his names, the Sankirtan Yajna, and narration of his pastimes and his messages are taking place. One should reside there. And Srila Prabhupada says that if the place we are residing in doesn't give us an opportunity to do this, then better to be in the womb of the mother and suffer, because at least there you can call out to the Lord helplessly because of all the suffering that we are undergoing. So ultimately then, the higher principle is not just to avoid suffering, whether it be in the womb or outside the womb, on earth or in the heavenly planets. That is not the ultimate principle. The ultimate principle is to serve the Lord uninterruptedly, purely, without any selfish material motivation, and thus to try to please him. Whether we can do this best on earth, in heaven, or in the spiritual world is up to the Lord. Whatever position the Lord wants us to be in is what we should want, and from that position we can render devotional service to the Supreme Lord and please him. Ultimately, of course, the Lord will take his devotee back to Godhead. But the devotee's mood is that he's prepared to even stay here and tolerate the miseries in the womb rather than just live comfortably without Krishna consciousness. So that is the sum and substance of life, that we have to become pure devotees of the Supreme Lord unconditionally. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, mic please. Thank you.
Thank you for class. And I have several points here.
Let's start with one.
8,400,000 species. Does it refers on demoniac planets and demigods planets species?
Yes. The 8.4 million species that have been talked about refers to the whole universe, not just to the Earth planets.
So you mentioned several how it's called in English, sufferings, very big sufferings in this material world. So I would like to mention also one occasion of suffering. So in this modern civilization, there is all society is divided. The mother is living with child, which doesn't know, even he didn't see his father. And one of these occasions, let's say, where we are suffering is a reality. That happens in one of USA towns. So mother was feeding, mother was engaged in the somewhere offices or factory during the day, and he was keeping dog to protect his baby in the house. So that dog also became big in due course of time. Then one day when she returned, she found...
Okay, it's too... All right.
Okay. So,
all right, let's also give some other questions.
One comment, okay? Very nice. Yeah. Go home, back to Godhead, yeah, is most effective the way of depopulate the planet. The go back home, back to Godhead is most effective way
to reduce the population.
To reduce the population.
Very good. But of course, that was Mahaprabhu's argument, and Haridas Thakur refuted it. Mahaprabhu said to Haridas Thakur that if everybody goes back to Godhead, then the universe will become empty. So Haridas Thakur said, no, all those living entities who are still in the stones and other unconscious stages of life, they will come forth and they will populate the universe. And what difference will it make if this one universe, everyone goes back? There are millions of universes, like one seed in a bag of mustard seeds. So of course we should try our best to deliver ourselves and help to deliver others. But ultimately we know that this universe, material worlds, will go on as an eternal cycle. Yeah. So can we give others a chance to ask questions
also?
Of course,
I took the question jokingly, but only one more, please. All we have inside, two dogs. One is demoniac, one is now in Kali Yuga, one is saintly. How to feed proper dog?
How to?
We are having two dogs, one evil and one good. Especially in Kali Yuga, how we can feed only good dog in us?
By hearing and chanting about the Lord, by nourishing. Yes, one last, somebody had, yes, Mataji, some question there.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I just want to know how heavy is a sin when the doctors have to terminate a pregnancy because it poses a threat to the mother's life.
Well, there's a big field of bioethics now in the world. There are so many tricky issues, and this is just one of them. Of course, one could look at it various ways. Just like killing is permitted when it is in defense. If you have to save your life to kill, you have to kill to save your life in defense, then that's permitted. So when there is a situation where it's either the mother or the child or both, if it's going to be both, sometimes there are situations in which the child, because of the way the child is in the womb, if the child is not aborted, then both mother and child will die. then obviously it makes sense to at least have one live. But of course there are many gray areas, and many times perhaps doctors are not honest enough. Even when they're not so convinced, they pretty casually go ahead with these things. The main point is that we should try to realize the seriousness of it. It shouldn't be taken casually. That's the whole point. Any other question? One last question. Yeah. Where is the mic? Yes, Mataji.
As you mentioned, cows are being picked up from road in Vrindavan. So what can be done from our end?
Well, it's again another issue. Well, we have to do what we can by talking to the authorities to take proper action. And there are other things which we cannot speak on the microphone, so, yes. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. In regards to the cows being picked up on the streets of Vrindavan, there is something that can be done. Karma Rupa is in charge of Goshala, and there is a network of people who, if you see these trucks, and they come in the middle of the night, and they are big trucks, you can contact Karma Rupa or his assistant. Okay, there is a network of phone numbers that I can produce the phone number and give it to the donation area for making donation for cows. But I did want to make one comment, and a lot of people here are not old enough to remember, but back in 1972, we sat in the temple rooms in America and wrote Congress regarding abortions and how horrible they were. If it was not for ISKCON, and if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, that there would have been millions and millions of more abortions than there have already been. ISKCON was the first anti-abortion group of people on this planet. In the early 70s, there was a BTG, a Back to Godhead, that had an embryo on the cover, and it discussed how horrible abortion was. This was news to American society. American society thought abortion was okay, that there was nothing wrong with it, because they were convinced by the doctors that it was something acceptable. They had no clue that there was a spiritual consequence to abortion. And because of ISKCON saving so many lives and creating an anti-abortion movement around the world, the society has already been uplifted, even though it's so hellish. There has been an uplifting in the society.
Thank you very much for your comment. Okay, so we'll stop here. It's past 9 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.